Good afternoon. Thank you for being here. I'm honored that Acting Secretary of Commerce Becky Blank and Presidential Science Advisor John Holdren are among our many distinguished guests who are here today. Before I start, I would like to let you know that this will be a two-part program, and we ask you to please stay in your seats after the First Lady's remarks. At that time, we'll hear a panel of guests who will delve further into today's important topic. Today, I'm very happy to announce the launch of an exciting new undertaking at the National Science Foundation, the Career Life Balance Initiative. This activity will enhance existing NSF policies and practices and implement new ones over time, subject to budget reality, of course, to provide flexibility for aspiring graduate students, postdocs, and researchers whom we support. This initiative is intended to advance the nation's ability to recruit and retain talented scientists and engineers here at home in the US in our educational institutions. It will help advance them to leadership positions in academia, in industry, and in public service. This is an important step in NSF's quest, the administration's quest, and really everyone's quest to establish a better balance between the responsibilities and demands of work lives and family lives. This initiative offers equal benefits to men and women developing careers. They will prove especially valuable to women who more often than not are the ones who suspend or surrender promising professional careers to take on the responsibilities associated with starting a family and caring for dependent family members. Why is this important? We need strategies that broaden the participation of those who are underrepresented, especially in science, technology, engineering, and math, or STEM. These strategies, to tap the historically underrepresented talent of women, minorities, and persons with disabilities, are essential to our future innovation, economic prosperity, and global leadership. Today's announcements represent one such strategy. NSF cannot do this alone. Given its pivotal role as a major funder of the nation's fundamental scientific enterprise, NSF bears responsibility to help workplaces creatively enable scientists and engineers to meet career and family demands. As women weigh career aspirations against conflicting life events, such as the birth or adoption of a child, duties of raising children and providing elder care, family-friendly policies help prevent them from being forced to make difficult decisions. They should not have to choose between their baby and the lab bench. Family formation, notably marriage and childbirth, accounts for the major loss of female talent from the job pool between the receipt of a PhD and achievement of a tenured position in the sciences. The statistics are overwhelming. Women account for about 41% of all new PhDs in science and engineering, but their share of full-time tenured or tenured track positions in academia is only about 28%. Following today's announcement, we will raise the visibility of existing policies and systematically incorporate them into proposal solicitations and grant reviews to make them systemic in the grant award process. For the sake of time, I mention just a few examples. Existing policies to become more systemic include no cost extension of awards and flexible start dates for new awards for accommodation of key life events. We will provide grant supplements for research technicians to sustain ongoing research when investigators need to provide family care. We will collaborate with our higher education partners, such as the Association of American Universities and Association of Public and Land-Grant Universities, as well as with professional societies and other associations, such as the American Association of University Women, industry, and other government agencies, to facilitate the provision of parental medical leave, accommodations for dual career couples, and part-time options. Effective immediately, NSF will incorporate family-friendly practices and policies in NSF's career program, which is for young faculty members, and all postdoctoral programs. And in the future, subject to budget realities, we will integrate work-life balance practices into additional programs, including the Graduate Research Fellowship Program and the Advanced Program. Our goal is to implement these policies and practices throughout the entire portfolio of NSF activities and to better integrate their use as consistent with federal guidelines. These policies will preserve human capital in science and engineering while enhancing job availability and security for hardworking Americans in some of the highest growth fields. NSF and others in the administration are also engaging the academic and science and engineering communities. We are pleased that a number of professional organizations and private entities are announcing related efforts concurrently. In closing, let me relay some real-life testament to the value of this initiative. As we congratulate one of our NSF postdoctoral awardees, Zoe Courville. Zoe cannot be with us today because she, in fact, is expecting a new baby any day now. She made the difficult choice to not deliver her baby at this White House event. But as one of the first grantees to take advantage of NSF's expanded family-friendly policies, she is not going to have to make a choice between being a good mom and being a great geoscience engineer. Zoe, if you're watching the webcast, congratulations both on the baby and on your career. So with that, I thank you, and I turn this over to a special guest, Ms. Michelle Del Rio, who's a graduate student at the Foster School of Medicine at Texas Tech Health Science Center. She's the president of the Association of Women in Science, El Paso chapter, and she works very closely with underprivileged youth in Hispanic communities. Michelle Del Rio.
Thank you, Dr. Suresh, and good afternoon, everyone. My name is Michelle Del Rio, and I'm so honored to be standing here today. I hope my professors and my boss will let me count this as an excused absence. As a graduate student in public health at the University of Texas at El Paso, and full-time lead technician of histology core in the Research and Development Center, Texas Tech Health Sciences Center, Polly Foster School of Medicine, I am proud to be a woman in a scientific field. But getting here has not been easy. Born and raised in El Paso's rich culture of Tex-Mex, I come from a family that values honesty, integrity, and hard work. My father has a high school education and works with fire sprinkler systems. My mother reached third grade and now works maintenance at a furniture store. As the oldest of three children, I was expected to get a job and dedicate my life to raising my siblings and helping my parents with housework. But I wanted to go to college and study science. And though my family couldn't support me or fully understand why I wanted to go, I decided to go. I required a lot of balancing. As a full-time student, I juggled two part-time jobs and had to take care of my younger brother and sister because both of my parents worked. I missed some deadlines, but I learned from my mistakes. And I graduated with a Bachelor's of Science in Biomedical Sciences with a minor in Chemistry, Psychology, and Spanish at age 22. Today, I'm working harder than ever. I'm studying for my master's. I plan to take the MCAT so I can go to medical school. And I lead El Paso chapter of the Association for Women in Science, where we inspire girls in the community. I'm doing all this in addition to working full-time in a lab, where I'm gaining valuable research experience. There, I see other young women balancing their careers and their lives like I have had to. As I think about them and my future with my boyfriend, an engineer as well, who I plan to marry and start a family with, I know that my need to manage many priorities will only continue. But I'm excited to hear that people are working to make it easier for me and the girls that I mentor in my community, who will one day follow in my footsteps. I look back now and see all the obstacles I had had to overcome to even get this far. I hope that today we can remove a few more. And now, it is my honor to introduce someone I greatly respect and admire, someone who I know inspires women and girls everywhere, the First Lady of the United States, Michelle Obama.
Let me welcome you all to the White House, and again, thank you, Michelle, for that very kind and inspirational story and introduction. We are all so proud of you. Now let's give Michelle a round of applause. And I know your family is watching, so congratulations. I also want to thank Acting Secretary of Commerce Becky Blank, who I know had to leave, but we want to thank her. And we have Congressman Shaka Fatah, who is joining us today. Congressman, it's good to have you. Now, it is Michelle and students like her. They are the reason why we're here today. Now more than ever, we can't afford to throw barriers in front of someone who had the hunger to be the first in her family to go to college, someone who worked full time to put herself through school while keeping up with her younger brothers and sisters, someone who is proving the doubters wrong every single day. This country simply can't afford to miss out on someone like that. And fortunately, in Michelle's case, we didn't. So today is also about helping every little girl in this country believe that she can be the next Michelle Del Rio, right? It's about showing every child that a scientist isn't just something you hear about in biology class, that a doctor isn't someone you visit when you're sick. Instead, young people, particularly our girls, need to understand that doctors and scientists are something that anyone can become, no matter how much money your family has, no matter where you come from, or whether you're a man or a woman. And that message is more important than ever in today's world. As my husband has said again and again, in order to meet the challenges of the next century, we have got to strengthen our role as the world's engine of scientific discovery and technological advancement. We need to educate the scientists who will make the next big discoveries that will fuel our economy. We need the highly skilled leaders who can teach in our classrooms, run our laboratories, and power our industries for decades to come. And if we're gonna out-innovate and out-educate the rest of the world, then we have to open doors to everyone. We can't afford to leave anyone out. We need all hands on deck. And that means clearing hurdles for women and girls as they navigate careers in science, technology, engineering, and math. And it starts with lighting the spark for science and math in elementary school and grade school. We talk about this all the time. I know for me, I'm a lawyer because I was bad at these subjects. It's what you opt out for. All lawyers in the room, you know it's true. We can't add and subtract, so we argue. And so encouraging girls early on not to lose heart in those fields and encouraging them through high school is important. But it also means making sure that these young women can keep pursuing their dreams in college and beyond. And we know that as people are building a career, as Michelle is, they're also working on building their families. And so often, it's working women who struggle to juggle their careers while caring for young children or an aging parent. That means it's tougher for them to rise to positions of leadership. It means that the highest rungs of the career ladder are sometimes out of reach. And too often in STEM fields, it means giving up on those careers entirely. But if we take some practical, common sense steps, we can keep these women in the STEM pipeline where we so desperately need them. And that is why I am so excited about this effort from the National Science Foundation. The folks at the NSF understand that you shouldn't be penalized or lose a chance to advance in your career because you were taking care of a new child or a mom or dad who's gotten sick. This is another way that my husband's administration is leading by example on issues like these. We all know that when you take steps to make life easier for working parents, it's a win for everyone. Workplace flexibility policies can increase worker productivity. It can decrease turnover rates. It can reduce absenteeism. It can attract the best workers, and it can help those workers keep their jobs. And that's why we've been working so hard to promote things like teleworking in the government, to support things like family and medical leave at the state level, and to launch a pilot program that evaluates workers on the quality of the work that they produce, not when or where they produce it. And it's why we've been out there working with businesses all around the country, encouraging them to share best practices around workplace flexibility and promoting the efforts of companies that are taking this issue on. And we're finding that more and more businesses are realizing that this is not only helpful to their workers, but it also helps their bottom line. And that's really the final point that I will make here this afternoon. Some may think that during difficult economic times, flexible policies like these are the last thing that we should be thinking about. But the fact is that in this environment, flexible policies become more important for both workers and employers. When folks are struggling to make ends meet, when they're taking on extra jobs or they're working longer hours, when every day is a high wire act and the checkbook is balanced on the thinnest edge, no one should be forced to choose between caring for their family and losing their job. No employer should lose a quality employee just because life happens, and life is happening to so many people throughout this country these days. And our country shouldn't lose out on its most promising talent because the career path is untenable. So we have got to do everything we can to keep fueling this country's engine of innovation and discovery. We've got to do everything we can to keep the doors open for women like Michelle and girls all across our country who want to be standing right in her shoes, and will do whatever it takes to get there, if only we lend a hand. So I want to thank you all for being here. I want to thank the NSF for stepping up and leading the way. This is a tremendous statement, and our hope is that other companies who are watching this will see this as another reason to follow suit. So with that, I want to turn it back over to Dr. Suresh, who's going to get the panel started in just a moment. And before I leave, I'll just come down and shake a few hands. So you all, thank you so much.